Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo, and today I have a returning guest, a favorite of mine, I must admit. She is Audrey Tang. Audrey's book, The Leader's Guide to Resilience, recently won the Speak Up Talk Radio Firebird Book Award. Audrey is a chartered psychologist and award-winning author. Her books, The Leader's Guide to Resilience and Be a Great Manager Now, with a focus on practical self-improvement. She is the resident psychologist on The Chrissy B Show, the UK's only TV program dedicated to mental health and well-being, and a presenter and wellness advocate fronting Psych Back to Basics on Disruptive TV. She regularly offers expert comment as a psychologist through TV, radio, and published media on mental wellness, and broadcasts a self-development podcast called Retrain Your Brain. Audrey is a member of the International Positive Psychology Association. She keynotes at national and international conferences in the fields of resilience, leadership, and team cohesion. She's a CPD-accredited trainer and a FEARO-B profiler, and she regularly consults and hosts webinars and lectures offering accessible and effective practical self-improvement tools for personal and professional success. She is a powerhouse. Those are my words, not hers. And I am so happy to have this opportunity to share her with you. So welcome back, Audrey.
Thank you so much for having me, Pat. And thank you for such a lovely introduction. I'm blushing. You can't see it, but I'm blushing. Thank you.
Well, it's you, my friend. It's all you.
Well, so exciting to be back.
I'm happy to have you here. And congratulations on the book win.
Thank you. Yes, I'm absolutely delighted, especially with the topic of resilience being so important right now. And this is something across the whole world. We may not have been in the same boat, but we're in the same storm. And there's a shared understanding of what we've all been through over the last year and a half.
I like that. I like the way you put that. Today, I want to talk a little bit about stress busting. Before we get into some of those specifics, let's just begin with your book, The Leader's Guide to Resilience. Just give us a little peek into the book.
Yes, well, a lot of people seem to think that resilience is just about surviving crisis, and it's not. It's so much more than that. Crisis is something that is unexpected, but most of us can actually cope because it's instinctive to want to survive. Where resilience really comes in is after the crisis has passed and we're left exhausted. So we need to have the mental and emotional fortitude at that point to actually rebuild again. But then when we get back to okay, or the new normal, as the phrase seems to be in the UK, why stop there? Why not actually go beyond that and thrive? Resilience is not just about bouncing back, but being able to spring forward. And the best part is, whether you've had practice or not, you can learn.
So who would you say your audience is for this book, The Leader's Guide to Resilience?
The Leader's Guide series from Pearson, it is aimed towards organizations, leaders, managers, and so on. However, resilience is something that's important for all of us, which means that every single person can benefit from reading the book. After all, whether we're a parent or whether we are a family member, we are still leaders in our own family groups, in our friendship groups. We are still having to make a difference. We support other people, we connect with other people, and in doing so, we need to support ourselves.
We are all part of a team, like you say, whether we're a family team, a business team, and why not just take that leadership role, whether you feel that you are the leader or qualified or whatever, why not just take that role and run with it? And that's where I think your book really is for just about everybody.
Thank you. And I fully agree with this idea about leaders not actually needing the title. If you have that network around you, if you say something and people listen, you're a leader. And it's really important that you have that mental and emotional strength in order to maintain your own well-being whilst people are looking to you.
Excellent, excellent advice. So everyone needs a copy of this book, The Leader's Guide to Resilience. Well, now I know that you have lots to talk about when it comes to stress, and it's really such an important topic right now, given what we have all been through this past year and a little bit more. So let's talk about stress. What is it, and why has it been so problematic, especially this year?
As an emotional and physical state which results in a physiological reaction. In other words, the body then prepares to either fight the threat that's come along or run away from it. And this preparation, unfortunately, includes a number of unpleasant symptoms, such as our heart rate increasing, sweating, feeling very tense, our blood pressure rising, and we also become a little bit blinkered. We only focus on that particular threat. And unfortunately, this sensation can remain until the crisis passes or until the body can't cope anymore and falls into exhaustion. But the key thing here is when it comes to 21st century living, we put a lot of the stress on ourselves. So whilst we may well be concerned about the virus, which is a physical threat out there, if we're overthinking, if we're anxious, all of those things can actually increase that feeling of stress and keep it going for longer than it needs to.
Mm-hmm. And I think often when people think of stress, they think, oh, I'm really busy at work, so, you know, maybe I'm feeling stressed, or, you know, you're almost in a car accident and that's stress. But we've been living under this, just this low level of stress that's constant. It's not like a fight or flight on a daily basis, but it is a constant and it's always there. So it I'm sure that it kind of eats away at you physiologically and you're not even noticing it.
Yes, and the biggest thing about the pandemic as well is we haven't been able to see people and engage in our usual ways of releasing stress. We can't go out for the night and dance our troubles away. We can't easily chat to people face to face, and we're missing out on that human contact as well because we may be concerned about spreading the virus. So a touch, for example, which is a basic human instinct and it's universally understood as showing comfort, that touch has been missed. And because we don't have those usual outlets, those usual buffers, a lot of us have really been struggling. And the isolation as well, especially if we've been on our own, that can make things worse.
And especially, Audrey, when you have no control, it's one thing to be stressed and then have some control to think, okay, I can get through this because I can work through the project, or I could say no to the project, or whatever it might be that's stressing you. But with this, we have little control over it. So I think that also is another piece that's added to the whole stressful aspect of this.
Very much so. That is a huge part of it. And it's actually why a lot of us have been engaging in nostalgia. For example, watching old programs again on television, because there's a sense of comfort. There's a sense of control. There's a sense of, I know what's going to happen. And that little moment is at least a tiny boost to us. So yes, the lack of control is very well documented as a precursor for feeling stress.
I think that's why you're finding people gaining weight and maybe drinking more and doing some of those things just to find some comfort.
Yes, we do unfortunately engage sometimes in unhealthy soothing methods. Mm-hmm. And if we are unable to perhaps go to the gym or go back to our regular routine, we try to find quick fixes. And the problem is those quick fixes can sometimes lead to further problems.
Right. So what would you say are some signs and symptoms folks should look out for? And how do we know when it's time to get some help?
Well, definitely, if you notice that you are very tired or you're not sleeping, you're irritable, you're tearful, perhaps you don't want to talk about something or you get angry very quickly, those are very strong signs, as well as perhaps increasing recreational drug use or alcohol use. And then it is important to reach out and speak to someone about it, because the whole problem is if we are irritable, it doesn't just stop there, because other people might be affected by that, and there's a ripple effect potentially damaging our relationships. Another problem that can happen is because we're so focused on the threat or the worry, we can become distracted or absent-minded. In other words, we're not present when we're doing the work that perhaps we've been paid to do. And again, that can have knock-on effects. So it's very important, if you recognize this or you see it in somebody else, just to say, you know, are you okay? Or ask yourself, hang on a minute, am I okay? And remember, don't try and use smiling or dismissive, oh, I'm fine, to cope, because it is important to acknowledge our feelings and accept we're not being strange, we're not a burden, we're not being silly. Stress and anxiety and depression, they're all very, very real.
You know, I'm thinking, going back to just like a leader mentality, I think if you're going to assume any kind of a leadership role within whatever group you're in, I think as a leader, if you show others that you could be vulnerable and instead of smiling and accepting it, reach out and say, you know what, I'm I'm in the need of help. I need to talk about this, or I need help. I think then others will look to you and say, oh, wow, she or he did that. I can do that too.
100%. That is so important. As leaders, we will also be role models. And so there's no point saying, oh, reach out, ask for help, if you're not prepared to do it yourself.
So can we learn to overcome stress?
We can. We can make little tweaks every single day. What a lot of positive psychology says is it's about focusing on things that are easy to do, but that give us a little boost to our mindset and our way of thinking. The best thing about psychology is that the brain is, it has this thing called neuroplasticity. In other words, it's not set in its ways, which means that if we can establish a healthy habit and keep doing it again and again and again, for example, gratitude, that releases oxytocin, or when we get back to hugging people, that releases endorphins, and we practice that enough, changes can actually happen in our brain. And if we start feeling happier mentally, then that exudes through how we act, how we behave, and that can have a positive, virtuous cycle effect on those around us. And it is possible to learn because it's just simple tweaks to build our positive emotions, to focus and find meaning in our lives, and to build healthy relationships, because who we surround ourselves with are just as important for our well-being as what we do.
I was just thinking about something I've heard in the past, and you're a good person to ask. I've heard that the brain cannot discriminate whether it is actually, or you as a person, are actually on the beach in the sunshine doing something that makes you feel happy, or if you're thinking about it or projecting yourself there, the brain doesn't know the difference. So why not put yourself in a positive place instead of a negative?
You are absolutely right, Pat. There has been research just, for example, on happiness and smiling. If you hold a pencil horizontally between your teeth so your lips are in a smile, the brain actually thinks you're happy, and people have reported feeling happier than those who were holding a pencil in a more sucking kind of motion, which is a bit more akin to a frown. So you're absolutely right. If we are visualizing, if we are looking at photographs of happy memories, that can produce the oxytocin, those feelings of trust, those feelings of being warm and fuzzy. And that's really important to capitalize on.
Oh, good. So we can spend the day tricking our brains, right?
We can. The brain is so complex, but unfortunately, it's become a little bit lazy because everything comes to us at the touch of a button now or on our smartphone. So we need to make sure that our brain is working for us rather than us becoming a bit of a machine for our brains.
Absolutely, you are right. Now, I know you have some tips for instant calm, since we are an instant gratification kind of a people anymore. Give us some of those, or some resilience building tips that you have.
First of all, I would suggest, and this is the easiest one of all, build up something that I call a positivity reservoir. And this focuses on hedonistic happiness, just things that make us smile individually. So this can be having photographs of moments that you love. And for leaders in particular, or anyone in the workplace, take screenshots of thank yous from clients to remind yourself you're doing a great job, because it's so easy for people to complain. People don't always say thank you. So when someone's bothered to do it, it's really great, and it holds that value that little bit longer if you really appreciate it. Checking in with good friends, that's another way to build up your reservoir. And laughing a lot. There's no harm in the odd funny cat video, as long as you don't spend all day watching it. And some positive affirmations, that's really good too. But also, finding meaning is important too. So practicing gratitude, thinking about something at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day, someone that you love, something that you love, and what you're looking forward to today. Again, that could be really great for calming our mind, making us fully appreciate what we've got. But there is a special tip with that one too. If you were to say practice those three things, who you love, what you love, and something you're looking forward to for, say, a week, you will recognize certain patterns appear. Certain people, certain things will come up more often, and certain people and certain things won't. And what you do with that information is spend more time actively choosing to engage with the people and the things that you're grateful for. And then either, if you can't get rid of things you don't like quite so much, the things that aren't coming up, you'll have the energy to make those things more bearable. Or because you're actively focused on the things you love, you will be so busy, you'll be able to phase them out without causing any upset.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, this is brilliant. Thank you. We need to do this more often with you. There's just so much information you've given us here today to really boost our happiness level, I think.
I hope so. And probably my favorite tip of all, that this takes a little bit more work, is work out whether something relaxes you or energizes you. Because the important thing to remember is, when we're feeling very anxious, sometimes having something that energizes us even more, perhaps speaking to really energetic friends, that may not be what we need. We may need something that calms us down, maybe reading a good book or going for a walk. But then if we're feeling down, we actually need a bit more of a pick-me-up. So when you're just going about your day, recognize if you like something and then decide if it's an energizer or a relaxer. And then when you're in need of that little boost, pick from the correct side, because that way what you do becomes more effective.
Oh my gosh. Well, let me tell you what, you are my energizer and I pick you.
Oh, that is amazing. And I actually would say the feeling is mutual.
Audrey Tang, you are an amazing person, and I want to make sure all of our listeners know how to find out more about you, get copies of your books, and just connect with you. So send us to those places. Where would we go?
Yes, absolutely. Well, my website is www.draudreyt.com, and from there you'll be able to have all the links to, for example, my YouTube channel, which is Dr. Audrey Tang Tools to Thrive. And what you'll find on that YouTube channel is a lot of tips and practical tools that you can start using right away to boost your mental health, to boost communication at work. I've got different topics. And also on my website, you'll find links to my book. And if you want to, there are videos of my masterclasses with downloadable workbooks as well, so you can even work through some of the exercises. And then my Twitter handle and Instagram handle are at Dr. Audrey T.
Yes, I hope folks head over to your website, DrAudreyT.com. On Twitter, you're very active and you always have your videos on there, which I watch and smile all of the time. So much energy and so much love that you exude. I hope everyone heads over to DrAudreyT.com. Audrey Tang, you're the best. Thank you for today.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure, and I will be buzzing off this energizing call for ages now.
You're the best.